Once upon a time, a man planted a pear tree. For many years, he tended the tree, pruned it, watered it, sheltered it. The tree grows slowly but surely, and in the fourth year, it finally produced a fruit, small, hard, and inedible. But the man didn't give up. Finally, in the sixth year, beautiful pears appeared on the branches. As the green fruit developed, the man ran off neighborhood kids who tried to eat some of them. The pears grew full and firm, beginning to turn yellow. Every day, the man walked out to the tree. He admired it, took photos, posted them on Facebook. But he refused to pick any of the fruit. As time passed, friends and neighbors asked the man about harvesting the pears. They looked so good, they said, it would be a shame to let them go to waste. Oh, they do look good, he said, but he would not pick the fruit. The pears ripened into a lush golden fruit, and a few began falling in the ground. Again, the same neighbors and friends offered to gather the fruit for him, but he declined his offer. In fact, he built a fence around the tree, locked the gate to keep everybody out. His reason? This fruit looks too good to eat. Sound crazy? Yeah? Sound improbable? Maybe not as much as you think. Past few weeks, we've been considering the fruit of the Spirit. Now, fruit here is figurative. It represents the evidence of the Spirit's work in our lives. Last week, we considered the first three, love, joy, and peace. We saw how they related to our relationship with God. This week, I'd like to take a look at the next three and how they deal with what you might say the manward relationship that we have. And those three are patience, kindness, and goodness. But this brings up a very important point that, in fact, deals with all of the fruit of the Spirit, but especially today's message. Warren Wiersbe writes, "We must remember that fruit is made to be eaten, not to be admired and put on display. People all around us are starving for love, for joy, for peace, for patience, for kindness, for goodness. They're starving for it. And when they find them in our lives, they know that we have something that they lack. We do not bear fruit for our own consumption. The fruit of the Spirit is that others might be fed and helped, and that Christ might be glorified." I think we sometimes act like that man did with his pear tree. We want our fruit to be admired, but we don't want it to be eaten. We don't want it to benefit others. We want it to make us look good, and that's not the point. If anybody is to look good, it's to be Christ. And if anybody is to be benefited, it is others. And we especially see that in these three characteristics, these qualities that the Spirit develops in our lives. But we need to remember, fruit is not to be just admired. It's to bring glory to God and service to others. And so the first of these three is patience. Some of your Bibles might say long-suffering. It's what I'm calling Christ-like composure. Now, there were two common words for patience in the Greek, one dealing with people and another dealing with things and circumstances. I find, just me, I think it's part of my character, my nature, I can have more patience with people than I can with things. I can deal with people okay, but boy, if something doesn't work right, I have very little patience for it. And in the ancient Greek, they actually had two different words for those occasions. And this one is dealing with people. Having patience with others. Now, as Christians, we need to have both. But here we're dealing with people. It's a characteristic that's often attributed to God in his dealings with mankind. Paul testifies to his own experience in this in 1 Timothy 1:16. He says, "But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display what? His unlimited patience. As an example to others who would believe on him and receive eternal life." Paul says, "I am one who has received the patience of God." The same thought is echoed in 2 Peter 3:9. In talking about the return of the Lord, Peter writes, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some would consider slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance." Patience. Literally, the word means long-tempered. Now, we don't use that much in our vocabulary. We do use the term short-tempered. I think it's because we see that a whole lot more. Long-tempered doesn't happen all that often, so we don't call it that. But we do know a lot of people that are short-tempered. It's the idea of having a long fuse, of responding thoughtfully rather than reacting emotionally. It's the capacity of self-restraint in the face of provocation. Someone's provoking you, and you're able to withstand reacting in kind. Aren't you glad that God has that kind of patience? I know I am. We all need it. Now, in our dealings with others, we need to reproduce this loving, forgiving, forbearing, patient attitude that God has toward us. Leon Morris writes, "We are to be imitators of God by refusing to be irritated by the wrongs that people do to us." That's one way in which we reflect God's character, his patience, his long suffering, his ability to put up with a whole lot. We need to develop that in ourselves so that we can treat others the way God has treated us. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, 2, "Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love." Another way of putting the end of that verse is putting up with each other in love. And we do, we need to. We all have to, because we all have days. We all have days that we're not the kind of person we want to be. Sometimes we talk about being out of sorts. And we need to have patience with people that are out of sorts. We need to have patience with people that maybe physically they're not feeling well, or emotionally they're going through a difficult time. And they say things and they do things that maybe aren't characteristic of themselves. Or maybe they are. But we still need to be able to put up with them in love. And that's what patience is about. It's not having to retaliate every time somebody says or does something against us. How is our composure when we're provoked? Can other people push our buttons and get us to react? You know, there are people out there that do that just for fun. That's their hobby, pushing other people's buttons. They love to get a reaction out of people. Are we one that they can push our buttons and get us to react in a way they want us to? We need to have more patience with people. We need to be able to keep our feelings, keep our words under control. Impatience, if you think about it, is always selfish. Impatience is always selfish. We get upset because someone's holding me back. Someone's in my way. Someone's making me mad. It's all about me. Impatience is really selfish. When we lose our selfishness in Christ, those petty problems don't throw us off so much. And when you think about it, aren't the things that upset us the most in life pretty petty? Now, the next on the list is kindness. I'm calling this Christ-like care. Now, in some of the English translations, the word is meekness. And I know that word meekness sounds a lot like weakness. And that's the way a lot of people think of a meek person. Oh, they're weak. You can just walk all over them. And that's not what meekness means in the Bible at all. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is actually strength under control. The original Greek had the connotation of a wild horse that had been broken, that had been tamed. It's not that the horse didn't have all that energy. Horses can be very, very strong. But when you get it under control, that's a meek horse. Jesus described himself as meek, but he was definitely not weak. It's a strength rather than a weakness. Now, this idea of kindness relates to a tender concern for others. It has nothing to do with a lack of conviction. It's not any kind of weakness. It's a genuine desire to treat others with gentleness and care, just like the Lord treats him. Paul reminded the Thessalonians that even though he was an apostle, he says, we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her children. That kind of care, there's nothing weak about that. There's nothing weak about a mother's love. But there's certainly a kindness. There's a consideration, a compassion. And speaking of children, perhaps the greatest example for the Christian is Jesus' kindness toward the children of his day. Remember, there were times when the children would just flock to him. I think it says a lot about Jesus, you know. You can tell a lot about someone's character by how children and dogs react to them. And Jesus was one of the children just flocked to him. And even his disciples are like, oh, Jesus, get these kids away. They're like W.C. Fields. Get away from me, kids. You bother me, right? And Jesus said, no, let them come. Let them come. The kingdom of God is made up of children like this. He loved to have the children around him, and they loved to be with him. Why? Because he was kind. They could see that somehow, and it attracted them to him. Mark 10:16 records, he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Now, this kind of care, this kindness that we speak of, it's not merely an attitude, it's kindness in action. We are to actively show kindness by behaving toward others the way God behaved toward us. As with the other fruit of the Spirit, we're to act as a mirror. We're to reflect God's kindness to others. Not only does he shower it upon us, but then we are to reflect it to others. We are to be kind even as God is. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow penned these poetic lines about kindness. Maybe you've heard this before. Kind hearts are the gardens. Kind thoughts are the roots. Kind words are the flowers. Kind deeds are the fruits. Take care of your garden and keep out the weeds. Fill it with sunshine, kind words, and kind deeds. It's not just kind thoughts. It's not just kind feelings, it's kind words, it's kind deeds, it's things we do. This is an active characteristic in our lives. Wouldn't it be great to be known as kind people? Those who give others a benefit of the doubts, who try to look on the better side of other people's shortcomings. You know, this isn't natural for most of us. It's why we can't pull it off on our own strength. We need the Spirit of God to develop this in our lives. And again, it's not going to happen by trying harder. I think it's a mistake so many people make. Oh, I can't do this. I got to try harder. I got to just, you know, resolve to be better. This is something the Spirit of God produces. Have you ever seen a tree trying harder? You know? Its branches are out there and it's going, come on, fruit, get out. You know, ever seen a stalk of corn, trying hard? No, They don't have to. It just happens. It produces fruit. It produces a crop. And we're the same way. It's not a matter of trying harder. It's a matter of trusting God more. Yielding ourselves to Him, allowing Him to develop this fruit in our lives. To nurture kindness in our lives, we need to reflect on how kind God has been to us. We live in a world where kindness is not always known. If we're waiting for others to be kind to us before we're kind to others, we may be waiting a long time. But if we think about how God has been kind to us, we have all the motivation we need. And we can allow the Spirit to work in our lives. Those experiences of God's kindness can be the inspiration for our own kindness. And we can go out and perform what some call random acts of kindness. Doesn't have to be somebody you know. Doesn't have to be somebody that deserves it. You just do something for someone. The Spirit of God will give you opportunities to show kindness. And then thirdly, we have goodness. I'm calling this Christ-like courtesy. Max Lucado writes, "Perhaps you've never placed the word courteous next to Christ. I hadn't until I wrote this chapter. But you know how you never notice a double cab red truck until your friend says he wants one and then you see a dozen of them? Isn't that the case? You know, somebody mentions something and you don't remember ever seeing it, but once it's on your mind, you see them everywhere. I had never thought much about the courtesy of Christ before, but as I began looking, I realized that Jesus makes Emily Post look like Archie Bunker." Probably the only thing you remember out of this message today, but Jesus was courteous. And unfortunately, in our age, like common sense, common courtesy has become much less common. Where does courtesy first disappear? Usually at home. That's usually where you see it fade the quickest. And unfortunately, the same can be said of the household of faith as well. Too much discourtesy happens within the walls of a home or within the walls of a church. And to quote James 3:10, "My brothers, this should not be." We should be courteous and kind and compassionate to our family first and foremost, and to our family in Christ right after that. This is where it begins, because if we can't treat each other with courtesy, how are we going to treat people out there with courtesy? You think people inside the family push your buttons? Wait till you get out there to work or in your neighborhood or wherever you might be. Parking lot at Walmart? Yeah. Oh yeah, people know how to push your buttons everywhere. Now in Galatians, goodness comes from a Greek word referring to that quality in a man who is ruled by and aims at what is good, namely the quality of moral worth. Another writer puts it this way: goodness is an attitude of generous kindliness to others, which is happy to do far more than is required by mere justice. In other words, we treat people better than they deserve. Because isn't that what God has done to us? I have a good friend that when you ask him, "Hey, how you doing?" he'll say, "Better than I deserve." There is a man who is in touch with the grace of God. He understands God treats us better than we deserve. We should treat others better than they deserve. Because if you think about what we all deserve, it's not pretty. I mean, that would be fair. It would be fair if everybody got what they deserved. But thank God life's not fair. Because if life was truly fair, we'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we? And we need to reflect that same character quality to others that God has shown to us. That grace and that mercy. Giving what is not deserved, not giving what is deserved. That's how we are godly. Because that is how God acts toward us. In the next chapter of this letter of Galatians, Paul writes in Galatians 6:10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Start at home. Start within the church family. I think Paul put that at the end of that verse because it's the first place it disappears. We can be real nice and courteous to everybody out in the world, and then we get home and we drop our guard and we're just, you know, nasty to each other. Shouldn't be that way. It should start at home. It should start here and then go out into the world. We are, in the words of Titus 3:2, to show perfect courtesy toward all men. Show perfect courtesy toward all men. Greek scholar Kenneth Wiest writes, "The courtesy spoken of here is that rare and beautiful combination of friendliness and tactful and delicate sense of perception and judgment, which should be a part of every Christian spiritual equipment." Being sensitive to others. Being perceptive. What does it require to be perceptive? Oftentimes it's to keep these open and this shut. God gave us two ears and one mouth. Do the math. We need to be better listeners. We need to be more interested in hearing how other people are doing than telling them how we are. That's a part of this idea of being courteous, being showing goodness. Think of the words in that statement from Wiest: friendliness, tactfulness, delicateness, perceptiveness. Can you think of anyone that embodied those characteristics? I can. His name was Jesus. He was the perfect model of being courteous. Perfect model of being gracious, being kind, being patient. Are we? Probably not so much. See, these things don't come naturally. We have a sin nature, and sin is just another word for selfishness. We're preoccupied with ourselves, and Jesus was preoccupied with everybody else, and he wants us to be as well. When I have somebody come to me and they're kind of down in the dumps and, poor, pitiful me, boy, life's been treating me bad, 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 bad. I tell them, you know what, go do something for someone else. Find somebody that you can help. And focus on them. Look to where their needs are. And it's not just a matter of, go find somebody that's worse off than you are. That's not the point. The point is, when you focus on somebody else's needs and then you do something about it, it actually makes you feel better. Because we get our eyes off of ourselves and onto others. And that's what this fruit of the Spirit is talking about. What can I give to others? What fruit can I manifest in my life that's going to be for their benefit? Remember, fruit is to be eaten, not to be admired. It's to help others, not just to make ourselves look good. Am I telling you to just be more courteous, to demonstrate the sense of goodness? No, once again, we can't do it, but he can. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, wants to develop this goodness inside of you. Quoting again from Lucado, "People can be so rude. We snatch parking places, we forget names, we interrupt, we fail to show up. Could you use some courtesy? Has it been a while since somebody pulled out your chair? Then let Jesus." Don't hurry through this thought. Receive the courtesy of Jesus. He's your groom. Does not the groom cherish the bride? Respect the bride. Honor the bride. Let Christ do what he longs to do. For as you receive his love, you'll find it easier to give yours. As you reflect on his courtesy, you'll be likely to offer the same. As we receive the patience, the kindness, the goodness of Christ, we're able to reflect those graces onto others. Now, it takes time. It takes humility. You ever notice how people get offended when offered common courtesy, such as someone opening a door for them? You ever had that happen? I have. I open the door for someone, they'll say, I can open it myself. Then I want to slam it in their face, right? That wouldn't be very courteous, though. You know what that is when people refuse courteous behavior? Pride. It's pride rearing its ugly head. Now, it might take some practice, but first and foremost, we need to allow the Spirit of God to develop this quality in our lives. The man in the story, at the beginning of my message, man with the pear tree, he didn't produce the fruit. The tree did. And Jesus told his followers in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We cannot bear any fruit. We cannot develop any character on our own. It has to be the work of God in our lives. And as we allow God to work in us, He is going to work through us. All we have to do is to keep our eyes open, keep our ears open. Be aware of others, be aware of their needs, and be open to do what God wants you to do, to go where God wants you to go, to say what God wants you to say, to be who God wants you to be. Make me a blessing to someone today. Let's not just sing that on Sunday morning. Let's pray that on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and every day of our lives. Lord, make me a blessing to someone today. That'll give you a full day. And it will make you feel better in the process. That's not why we do it, but it's a side benefit. When we're a blessing to others, we ourselves are blessed. Probably the most familiar verse in all of Scripture is John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that what? He gave. God's love is giving. And as we focus our attention on others, we'll allow His love, His patience, His goodness, His kindness to flow through us onto others. And we will be a blessing to others today, tomorrow, every day of our lives. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank You for the patience You've shown toward each one of us. We would not be here if it were not for Your patience. We thank You for Your kindness to us that You show us on a daily basis. We thank You for Your goodness to us. And I pray that we would become patient, kind, and good toward others. May they see You in us so that we might share Your goodness, Your grace. And they'll be more apt to receive it because they've seen it. Make us a blessing to someone today.